like to call on Dr. Iman Salkar, who will continue with the Archaeology and History of Palestine book introduction. Dr. Iman,
the floor is yours. Good afternoon, everyone. I was given a very difficult task. I was asked to go over 1.5 million years with you in 10 minutes. Well, I'm giving room for our discussions. So it's not going to be an easy task, and I will try to be as concise as I can be in a very short period of time. In the presentation of Dr. Hamdan, he underscored the significance of this work as a foundational effort that constructs a scientific, objective, unified historical narrative for Palestine and its inhabitants. This effort presents Palestine's cultural history as a continuous and integral whole. It recognizes the enduring cultural continuity in Palestine, regardless of the shifting boundaries. The work also highlights a deep-rooted identity of the Palestinian people and celebrates the rich cultural and religious diversity, embraces all cultural community, religious communities and beliefs, and voices that have emerged and evolved on the land of Palestine. As he mentioned also, there's a lot of information that we're drawing from various fields like history, linguistic records, archaeological discoveries, anthropological evidence, and collective memories. The period spans over 1.5 million years, and as was mentioned, it's in 7 sections, 37 chapters, and I'm not going to be able to go over all of them. So what I know, I would like to, but it's going to be difficult. But allow me to take you on a very brief journey through this work, bringing to life the rich and enduring story of Palestine. In the first section, it's an introductory section where Dr. Hamdan Taha does what he did today, which introduces the idea behind the book and talks about the work that has been done in the 18th and 19th century to preserve national memory, and the work of institutions like the Palestine Center in preserving the living memory of Palestine. And he talks about the various researchers that have done that through time. Dr. Mrakdan, on the other hand, talks about historical geography, a very important component of Palestinian history, this intrinsic relationship between people and land. He examines sources, written sources, but also archaeological evidence, and highlights this relationship between people and their landscape. In the work of Dr. Isam Halaka, who is not going to be with us today, he speaks about ancient languages, and he gives an overview of the languages and the scripts that were in the land of Palestine. He taught from the early Bronze Age to the Classical period. He talks about 26 languages recorded and found in Palestine, and he examines them to see how they came about and how they went into extinction as well. A lot of effort to do that. Also in this introductory chapter, we're talking about support sciences. I'm not sure if any of you students here work on these things, but zooarchaeology and archaeobotany. These are sciences that support enhances our knowledge about archaeology. And we have a couple of experts that delved into details of how the study of bones tell us about ritual, health, death, the animals that we've domesticated. Same things with plant analysis. It highlights key research. We're using new methodologies to analyze plant remains from archaeological sites, and especially in Tel Seca and in Gaza, which is a very important undertaking. I was going to say Dr. Iman Saka, but that's me. My work focuses on community archaeology. It talks about how do you involve the community in the archaeological heritage process, and it really talks about the value that we learn from the community themselves and how they can enrich our archaeological research. So that's the work that I have been doing for a very long time. After this first introductory section, we go to the second section of the book, which deals with prehistory to urbanization. And Dr. Ghattas is with us today, and he is going to talk about that. But I do want to say that his paper in the book was very important because it talked about climatic shifts in the Stone Age and how that influenced people's movement and stone tools and subsistence strategies and giving examples from the Galilee and Mount Carmel. The Mesolithic era, for students who are archaeologists here, focusing on the Natufian culture, illustrates very important transition in the beginnings of settlements. People thinking of settling down, they were hunters and gatherers first. This is the first time they think of settling down. Semi-permanent settlements and groundwork, and beginning groundwork in archaeology, where Dr. Sariah continues with that theme into the Neolithic period, which is a true first settlement in Palestine, and food production and major social shifts in that period. And Dr. Abdelaziz, Abu Aziza talks about the onset of metallurgy in Palestine. And he also discusses certain culture in the southern part of Palestine as well, and certain rituals that started coming into play because people settled down for a longer period of time. Collectively, their research is invaluable for understanding the deep-rooted development of humans in early society in the region and provides essential context for the origins of settlement, for origins of agriculture, and the origins of social structure in Palestine. The third section talks about the Bronze Age. The Bronze Age is a transformative era in Palestine. The researchers really looked at new primary data related to this period. Dr. Taha highlights the early Bronze Time period as a major societal shift to urban centers. We have temple palace institutions, and we have much larger size and writing coming into play in that period, which is a really big shift in society. Followed by Dr. Muawiyah Ibrahim, who talks about the Middle Bronze Age. So there's early, middle, and late Bronze Ages. Looking at inscriptions to tell us information about the Canaanite city-states. So a lot of amazing information coming out of that research. And Dr. Najazri talks about the late Bronze Age and the relationship between these Canaanite cities and the 18th and 19th dynasties in Egypt. There was a strong relationship at that period, and there's a lot of interesting writing that were analyzed related to that. And of course, he delves into the theories of the why. Why did it collapse? So why did the Bronze Age, the late Bronze Age, collapse? Dr. Hani Nuruddin talks about the Iron Age. The Iron Age in Palestine from the 20th century BCE until the first millennium BCE is a period of major academic debate. There was a lot of conflicting interpretations, especially with biblical archaeology. The work critiques the conflation of focusing on the limited historical sources and the biblical text. Instead, the author suggests that we emphasize the study of settlement patterns and material culture. So looking at archaeology in order to have some sort of knowledge about this Iron Age period. And to enrich all of this discussion, Dr. Halaika provides information about the use of coinage from the 7th century BCE to the 7th century CE, a huge span of time looking at paper and metal currency, what's written on them, and what story they tell about Palestine. Amazing stories can be told from coins. Coins are a record of history, so for students who are here. The fourth section, it talks about the classical periods. This section presents the historical and cultural importance of Palestine from the Hellenistic through the Bronze period. Dr. Hassouni shows how Alexander the Great's conquest showcased Hellenistic influence in the region and talked about the social, cultural, and artistic landscape during that period. Dr. Al-Saud talks about the Roman rule, and he focuses in his research about monuments and all the monumental evidence that we have in Palestine, especially from King Herod the Great's time period. Dr. Khamis underscores the transformative impact of Christianity during that time period. Palestine became the center of religious and pilgrimage activities, and talks about the evidence of churches and monasteries that will build during that period of time. So collectively, these contributions reveal how successive empires shaped Palestine's identity, infrastructure, and global significance. Section 5. Are you guys still with me?
Yeah.
All right. Section 5 is an overview of the Islamic period. And I'm going to try not to go into detail because we have Dr. Mahmoud talking about that. But the collective contribution of Dr. Mahmoud Hawari, Matani, Abid Rabbo, Nakshe, Adil Manah, and Zarad all contributed to our different kind of understanding of this period. It offers a rich and nuanced understanding of the Islamic period in Palestine, spanning from early Islamic period until the Ottoman period. Drawing on primary historical sources and archaeological evidence, the author, especially in the paper of Dr. Hawari and Abid Rabbo, challenged Orientalist narrative that claimed widespread destruction and devastating in the early Islamic period, instead documents urban prosperity and cultural vibrance and religious diversity in that period. Crusader period is discussed in detail by looking at new archaeological evidence with the help of a reread of Islamic and European sources as well. The Mamluk period is also revised because it fluctuated between rebuilding and trying to stabilize the region at a difficult time period. As for the Ottoman period, Dr. Adel is going to talk about that, but it really offered a critical review of an Orientalist narrative. The chapter emphasizes Palestinian agency and the complexity of political, social, economic life in Palestine during that period. So the people had a lot of agency during the Ottoman period, and that is something that is going to be discussed in this contribution. All of these authors about the Islamic period give us valuable insights on the adaptive resilience and dynamic nature of Palestinian society under Islamic rule. Section 6, contemporary history of Palestine. The topics in this section provide a critical and deep, insightful examination of contemporary issues, including British mandate, the impact of Zionist colonialism, and the development of Palestinian national identity. Dr. Issam Nassar is going to talk to us a little bit about the British mandate today, so I'm going to skip over that part. Dr. Walid Salem studied Zionist settlements, its ideological and institutional roots, showing how it evolved into a state-driven tool of control before and after 1948. He looks at how the strategy of settlements shaped Palestinian landscape and demography, concluding with insights into possible future directions and changing regional and global dynamics. Dr. Johnny Mansour investigates a very important topic, which is the condition of Palestinians who remained in the 48 in Israel, in the border of Israel after 1948. He talks about their struggle with identity and what pressures they are under trying to assert that identity in 1948. Together, these chapters offer invaluable perspectives on historical and ongoing structures of powers, resistance, and identity in Palestine in the face of colonial and settler colonial domination. Chapter 7, I'm almost there. Chapter 7 addresses vital topics in contemporary Palestinian history. The work of Dr. Mitri Rahib discusses biblical interpretations of the Promised Land and the Chosen People, and talks about how Palestinian Christian theologians have developed alternative frameworks for reclaiming the religious narrative of the local Palestinian perspective. Dr. Fayha and Dr. Mahmoud Isa explore another interesting topic, which is oral history. Oral history and village memory as vital methods for preserving Palestinian history and a way to emphasize identity of ordinary people in order to keep the memory of the place alive. Dr. Ayman and Dr. Muntasir, they are both with us online, talked about the evolution of Palestinian national identity from the 20th century to the present. They explore how historical traumas have shaped their resilient sense of identity rooted in struggle and survival. In the final chapter, Dr. Saeed Abu Ali reviews the political developments surrounding the Palestinian National Authority until our day today. Did I do okay?
You got a minute to spare.
Wait, that's wonderful. Let me say my conclusion. In conclusion, the work stands as an indispensable cornerstone in the historiography of Palestine through its rigorous multidisciplinary approach. This monumental work effectively dismantles long-standing settler colonial narratives by meticulously weaving together archaeological findings, historical records, primary sources, linguistic analysis, oral history, and community perspectives across 1.5 million years. The work constructs a powerful and unified account of Palestine's rich continuous history, firmly rooted in the experience of its indigenous people. Ultimately, this work, more than just a scholarly contribution, it is a vital act of intellectual sovereignty, empowering Palestinian researchers, amplifying marginalized voices, and ensuring that the enduring story of Palestine and its people is told authentically and with weight and the weight it deserves now and for generations to come.
Yeah.
Thank you very